Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Catch Good Health Radio Show with health educator and life coach Erica Hooray Butcher. We're all about health here with a life coaching twist, offering stories that will inspire and inform while laughing along the way. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everybody. This is Erica Hooray Butcher, health educator and wellness coach with Catch Good Health and Catch Good Health Radio. And I'm extremely excited today because Billy Walton is back on the air with us. Hi, Billy.
Hi, Erica.
Hey. So Billy is a nutritionist and registered dietitian, and she was on the air with us a couple of weeks ago talking about general information about nutrition. And I love the show we did, Billy. Thank you so much for doing it again.
You're welcome. Happy to be back.
Yeah. And today we're talking about children's nutrition, which I'm really excited about. And I also want to share with everybody that Billy's going to do a third show with me on August 19th regarding nutrition for weight loss. And I think it's so confusing. And I know we talked about this last time. It's so confusing about what people hear to lose weight. They hear about eating low-fat stuff, counting calories, and it's actually not the best way to do it. So we're going to talk about that on August 19th. And August 12th, the week before that, I'm going to have a show with Natalie Reeves, who is so lovely. She's one of my friends and another colleague, and she does a lot of consulting and coaching work, but she's now branching into more spiritual work also. And she's doing that through Akashic Records and reading Akashic Records, which is fascinating. I didn't know anything about it until I met her, and we hit it off, and she shared, and she practiced with me when she was first getting certified to do it, and it was profound. So she's going to come on the 12th to talk about spirituality with me and also her work with Akashic Records. And again, Billy's coming back on for a three-peat on August 19th at 1 o'clock to talk about nutrition for weight loss. So first, Billy, thank you again, and I am so excited you're back on, and why don't you share with people just a little bit about your background again in case they missed the last show, just so they know where you're coming from with your nutrition information.
Sure. I'm licensed in the state of Maryland as a licensed dietetic nutritionist, and I also hold my certified nutrition specialist certificate. I got my master's in nutrition and integrative health from the Maryland University of Integrative Health. And I practice out of my home in Stevensonville, Maryland, doing one-on-one nutrition consults, cooking classes, and just educational events for anybody who's interested in pretty much any topic you can think of.
I love it. So Billy is coming on today. We're going to talk about children's nutrition. So, Billy, first, how is children's nutrition different than adult nutrition? Like, why do people need to pay more attention? I feel like, I don't know, I think for years when I would think of how to feed children, it would basically be, like, smaller amounts of the food that I was eating. So what is it, really? Like, what do kids really need that's different than, how is it different than adults?
I think we all think that it's different than adults, and it's really not different. I do think that kids just need smaller portions of the food we're eating. I think we sometimes are afraid, I just actually had this conversation with a mom today. We were talking about picky eaters, and she was saying, She's like, I know where I messed up with my firstborn. I was young, and I didn't know any better, so I didn't pay attention to what I was feeding him. And if I didn't like it, I didn't think he would like it, so I didn't even try it. And now I have a hard time feeding him. He's 6 years old, and she has a two-and-a-half-year-old who's not a picky eater, but her approach early on was different in that she's like, I'm going to let her try stuff even if I don't like it. I don't like strawberries, but she can try strawberries and see if she likes them.
Mm.
And, So it's not
that's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we also think, and I, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, so basically don't assume that your kids will dislike what you dislike. They might actually like mm-hmm. things that you don't like that are quite healthy. That's a great point. I never thought of that.
Yeah, and you'll even see, I mean, I have two boys, and just amongst my two boys, one of them likes one thing and the other one may not like it, but they both will try it at some point and are continually, and this is the key, continually introduced to it. It's on their plate. They see it. They see other people at the table eating it. They can try mm-hmm. it. And I do encourage them, even if they're like, you know, I don't like this. I'm like, well, I cooked it a little differently. You might like it this way this time. Just try one bite. If you don't like it, move on. But we don't, and I don't encourage force feeding, because, especially with the younger kids, because in the toddler years, I think food becomes something they realize they can control. And so if they feel like they're lacking control in some area of their life, then the food kind of becomes an area where they're like, well, I can choose to chew this or swallow this. And they kind of gain a lot of control. So I try to avoid putting too much pressure on young children during kind of that introductory period with food.
Okay, so watch for pressuring young kids during introduction periods.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point.
And just repeated exposures. Like I've read kind of like the golden rule is it can take up to 14 exposures to a food. So just continuously showing it to them, letting them see it and taste it. And even if they didn't like it the first time, over time, their taste buds would change. But I think we all can say as an adult,
yes.
They're like, yes. I hated pears as a kid. I didn't really care for strawberries. I didn't like a lot. I didn't like any vegetable but maybe peas and possibly broccoli. And now I eat everything, but it took me time, you know, to kind of get there.
Yeah.
And our kids are the same way. So being patient is really important.
Okay. I love that stat, though, that it can take up to 14 exposures of a food for kids to, what, start to eat it or try it?
Start to eat
it. Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
some
amazing.
Some kids will do it
okay.
immediately. Some kids will be after three times. Some kids, even with that exposure, if they have any texture aversion, they still might not like it. But, I mean, just continuously exposing them to it and modeling it by you. If you want your kids to eat healthy, like you should be eating the foods you want them to eat too, ideally, because they'll see
right.
you're not doing it and they'll be like, well, if they're not all about this, why should I eat that? Especially with the older,
right.
like school age kids, toddlers, you can get away with it. But when you kind of get into the school years, they will see what you're doing and kind of model after you at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I don't have children of my own. I love being an aunt, and I have twin niece and nephew who are they're going on 11 now. And I remember so many arguments over food at the dinner table when I'd visit with my parents and my brother and his kids that my mom, you know, my mom's old school, so she, you know, you eat. but for some reason, for grandkids, she gets up and makes other foods for them. It's the strangest thing. I mean, with my brother and I, it was take it or leave it. But with my niece and nephew, oh my gosh, she'll cook like three meals and they could, you know, if they don't want one, she'll whip together something else. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. But the kids knew that she'd do it. So they kept
mm-hmm.
holding out for something better. It's like what my dogs do with me when I switch their food. They're like, I'm not eating it. She'll give us a can soon. And sure enough, I give them a can. So, yeah, kids are smart. And the one thing that I always found hilarious was I would be told that Robert and Gretchen, my niece and nephew, had all of these rules around food, like just things they'd like. You know, oh, one wouldn't like dairy, so they wouldn't eat eggs, and one doesn't like this, and one doesn't like that. So everyone was trying to, like, cater around these requests. And any time my husband and I would spend time with them, they had no problem eating all those foods that we were told they don't like. So it's amazing how food really becomes a challenge with some families. And like you said, I think probably a lot of it comes from pressuring kids early on to eat certain things and kids learning that that's now a bargaining chip. Like that can now be negotiated. So it's when you start early that we're recommending starting early and not making food a thing, like not making it into a bigger than just eating. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm having a hard time articulating it.
Yeah, I think what you're trying to say is possibly like not putting pressure on it, just making it fun and having fun with it. It's a fun process. They're exploring, like when they're infants, it's like they go from either breast or bottle to solid foods, and it's a whole new, I mean, you're going from a liquid diet to, you know, depending upon how you do solid foods, either purees or you do some baby-led weaning with small pieces of cut-up food, like it's a whole new texture, it's a whole new taste, and, you know, so have fun with it and not put the pressure on it because they'll get it. They'll be, like, I think we all can look back, most of us, I would say the majority of the population, at a point in their life where they weren't eating the way that they probably should have been eating, and could have been by poor example by parenting, or it could have just been you found like you can put your foot down and not eat something, and you know,
yeah, I do. So if parents are listening, or caregivers, not just parents, but if people who care for kids are listening, and the kids that they care for aren't eating the best diet, maybe the parents are beginning to change their diet and now they're trying to help their kids change their diet, what do you recommend to parents to start that transition? Like, how do you get your children to go from eating Doritos and Oreos at home after school to eating carrots and, you know, healthier foods or healthier versions of chips? I feel like I think when I work with people and what I hear from people is that they think that there's bad food and healthy food, and that it's like either you do it or you don't. But I think sometimes people miss it. There's really a continuum. So when I started improving my diet, and like share with me what you think about this too, but when I started just improving my overall health and well-being years ago, I started like changing it and moving up the scale of healthier food. So I didn't go from eating Oreos regularly probably, mm-hmm. Chips Ahoy even, to eating, you know, organic produce and organic meats immediately. I started making small adjustments. So instead I'd start looking for snacks that were still processed but had less stuff in them. So I was looking for maybe sweet potato chips that were baked instead of fried stuff with worse ingredients in it. And then slowly started to make more adjustments. Once I got that done, I started, maybe I could try something like, you know, use something else in place of butter or margarine. And mm-hmm. did that. And then, you know, so it's small steps is basically what I'm saying. If people are trying to adjust their diet, you could do small baby steps, incremental, that they really can achieve and then build on. So with kids, like, what are some tips? Kids come home, eat really crappy kind of snacks and food, for lack of a better phrase. How do parents start changing that? How do you do that?
I would recommend that they will kind of stick to a food they like. So if they will only eat the chips at snack time, that's where you can go from, like, you know, there's bad, there's good, there's better. Like, good,
yeah.
There's better, and there's best. And you would kind of move up the continuum, especially with kids. Like, an adult who is highly motivated for a change may be like, you know what, I'm not eating any chips anymore, and
right.
That would be fine. But kids, like, it's like, you know, you have to go a little more gradual. They like comfort. They like, it's their security, kind of having the routine.
Mm.
So what I would do with them is kind of, like you said, go from the, like, you know, like Lay's potato chips to maybe veggie chips or something a little more, a whole grain tortilla chip or something that kind of would fit the palate of what the flavor they're used to getting. And then they serve a smaller size of the chip, like maybe cut the serving in half, and then add some carrots or some fruit, like sliced apples or something else with that, and like let them have the familiar food with the new food. Or if you know that they like strawberries, like, you know, have the strawberries with chips. And then eventually you can kind of keep cutting back the serving of the chips and be like, eventually maybe say, you know, that's a treat you can have once a week, or, you know, whatever works well for you guys, you know, negotiate it out. You know, and if they're eating a ton of fruits and vegetables during the week, like, relaxing up if they do want to kind of splurge on a little snack. Because even as adults, we do it too. Like, we all splurge here and there and kind of enjoy. And I think we put all the pressure on kids, and then we don't even necessarily do what we're trying to get them to do either. And they're smart, so they pick up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great, okay, so eating familiar foods with new foods and then slowly transitioning to more of the new foods that are healthier and further away from the more familiar as time goes on, like as you transition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and let me ask you, people still ask me about cheat days. I have my own opinion on it. When people ask you, like, oh, so can I have a cheat day where I could eat whatever I want, what do you say to them?
You know, I'm not a fan of a planned cheat day per se, because I think you can, like, kind of incorporate in a healthy lifestyle, like, having fun treats here and there. But when you're, like, every Sunday I'm just going to eat that, and it kind of upsets, like, all you're doing for the whole entire week, and then you're more likely to binge eat on that day if you're having a cheat day. So, like, you want ice cream, maybe go out with the family and have, like, an ice cream night out here and there. Or if you have a family party coming up, like, or going to a cookout somewhere, go and enjoy, the cookout and, like, really just be with people and enjoy that. And, like, those are what I see as, like, a quote, cheat day. So it's really not. It's just, like, living a life and
honoring. It's honoring where you're at. I think that's what it is.
Exactly.
Right? Being in the present moment. Being in the present moment. Go ahead.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't want to go to a party and then say, oh, I'm not eating any of your food because you didn't buy it at such and such grocery store. And, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
and I feel like you do a cheat day. You're always in the future planning what bad food you're going to eat.
You're not living in the moment, and so you're hating every other day of the week because it's like, oh, this healthy food sucks. But healthy food can taste so good, and I mean, actually better than non-healthy food once your palate adjusts to the new flavors and not over-salting and over-sweetening things. You'll be amazed with how good things can taste.
How long do you think for kids, especially since we're talking about kids' nutrition, how long for them, for their palates to start to shift? If you start introducing healthier foods and you're doing that transitional phase, like how long do you think it takes on average for kids to their palate to change? Because really, we're so inundated with sugar and salt that we're maximized with more unhealthy foods just because it's loaded with sugar and salt. So when we switch to healthier foods, they don't taste as great because, our palates are not, I don't know, for lack of a better word, tweaked with all the sugar and salt. I'm going to regret saying that one day, not coming up with a better word. But anyway, but then they do adjust and you have that same amount of pleasure from healthy food, but there's a transition. So how long do you think how long should parents be aware it might take for their kids?
You know, that's a great question because I've not tracked that before, but I would say, in my adult clients, I've seen it, like, with doing a cold turkey, like, elimination diet, I've seen it happen, like, really quickly in, like, a month. With children, because you are doing it a little more gradually, I would give it 3 to 6 months. And during that period, consistency is the key. Just staying consistent and saying, you know what, this is what we're going to do. We're going to introduce a new food and maybe pick a new food and, you know, over the course of 3 weeks, introduce it like every other night at dinner or something like that. And just really giving it time, but remaining consistent with it and kind of setting up the rule, like saying, you know, like, okay, you have to try one bite of it or, you know, at least touch it or smell it, do something to it instead of, like, turning your nose. Like, maybe one child, like, may be firm about not putting it in their mouth, but maybe just have to touch it, play with it, and prepare it different ways, like with vegetables, cook them, serve them raw, kind of like tried different approaches with it, different dips and stuff. But yeah, I would say give it 3 to 6 months to for their palate to adjust.
Yeah, it definitely. I think from my nutrition certificate that I completed, it was I think on average for adults it was around 6 weeks, but I think for kids, like you said, it's going to be different. So in addition to helping them eat healthier foods, what do you think about kids food shopping with their families? My friend is a personal trainer who was actually my personal trainer for a while. She's fantastic, and she was really into nutrition also with her family. And she shared some tips on how to get kids more engaged. So do you have any tips on how to get kids more engaged? I feel like the more engaged they are with the food process, the more likely they are to eat healthier. I mean, I think that's
absolutely
sad.
Yeah, I think kids, what
can they do?
I really think kids in the kitchen and kids in the grocery store is awesome. So with my boy, we'll go to a grocery store and I'll say we're getting apples, and I'll show them, like, here's the apples. What kind do you want? Pink Lady, Gala, Green? And they pick, and then I let them, like, take it. They'll pick it up with their hands, put it into the bag, put it into the basket. Some grocery stores have the little kids' baskets, so the things that they individually pick out, they'll put into their own little baskets themselves. So, involving them in the grocery store process and letting them see where food kind of comes from, getting them used to that outer portion of the grocery store at a young age is important. Mm-hmm. And then from there, preparing dinner. So, like I said, my boys, like between the two of them, there's some vegetables that one of them likes, some that the other one doesn't like. So I let them take turns and like, okay, what vegetable are we having tonight? Pick, and I tell them they have a choice between broccoli or peas, so they have control. So they're picking which one they want between the two. But I have the main control because I'm like, I'm narrowing down your options. You have to eat this or that. So I like that. Getting them involved in the kitchen, so when it's age appropriate, it could be like, you know, maybe for the little toddlers, like, hey, can you go grab the carrots out of the fridge and have them bring them to you. The older kids, like depending on where they are with the fine, like with the motor skills, like I would say like somewhere between 6 and 8, like maybe getting them started with like learning how to properly use a knife and cutting stuff. But whatever you do, like knife should be, like a kid will cut itself if the knife isn't sharpened. So making sure you have good quality, if your kids are going to help you with some food prep, making sure you have good quality knives, that you professionally sharpen them like every 6 months, once a year. You can test to see if a knife is like properly sharpened. If you take a piece of paper and if the knife can easily cut through it, then it would be safe for the kid. But if it's not a sharp knife, a dull knife will cut a kid. So getting them involved in the food prep, maybe it could be the cutting, or it could be once you cut, like have them take it off the chopping block into the bowl, or
rinse the veggies.
Rinse the veggies is a good one. They can stir things together. Making smoothies, like we love making smoothies in our house. So that's like, you know, we have a good blender, so we don't even really have to cut anything. So they just dump whatever they want into the blender and make it that way. So,
do you use fresh or frozen stuff for your smoothies?
It depends on. I use both. I mean, veggies I do like fresh. Like my veggies are always fresh when it comes to that, and usually my fruits and vegetables are as well. I like smoothies are a great way when you have some fresh produce and they're starting to like not look very happy. Then it's like smoothie time to kind of get through them. Frozen isn't that, especially now the way they like flash freeze it. So there's some thought that frozen can be healthier than fresh, especially when you're buying fresh in the grocery store, because there's that transit time of it going from the farm to the store to your home. So the flash freezing can definitely retain more nutrients than fresh at times.
I like the, you know, that's what I learned also. that sometimes frozen is actually sometimes better than fresh. If you're getting it from a farmer's market or a store that you know supplies from local producers, then that's different. But if it's, I think a lot of, like, for bigger stores that might have it transported a further distance, I learned sometimes frozen is as healthy, if not has even more nutrients. I like frozen when I am limited in my stores. I live a little bit Wegmans maybe 25 minutes away, so I love going to Wegmans whenever possible. But if I hit the closer store, they don't have the best produce. I mean, they have a big produce section, but it's not this. I get strawberries from there, bring them home, and the next day they're molded. So I discovered when I go there, organic frozen strawberries, and just use those instead for things that I can use them for. And so if you're in an area where you're not totally sold that you get fresh, really good produce in your store, then you could look for the frozen stuff. It's better than none. I mean, that's what I always say. Like, it's, even if it's not as healthy as a fresh, it's better than not having any at all.
Exactly. So, and if it gets you eating it, yep, I agree. Totally.
And I feel like for some families, and I go through these phases where I'm really on it. Like, you know, you buy produce, and you really need to be paying attention because it's gonna go bad. Whereas all the processed stuff, you throw it in your cabinet and you can eat it in a year, and it's not a big deal. So for me, I go through these phases where I'm like really on the ball and keeping track of the veggies I bought and the fruit I bought and making sure we're eating them and making sure I'm cooking them. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, crap, I just wasted like 3 squash and, you know, a couple of cucumbers. And then I get frustrated. So when I go through those phases, I transition back to more frozen fruits and veggies to take the edge off of the planning if I'm busy. So I just use, you know, I throw them in the freezer and then I have them and they're not going to waste unless they're in there way too long. So I think people can use that as a resource and just flow back and forth. If you can get to the farmer's market and get the fresh stuff, do that. But if the planning is getting overwhelming, then they could take the edge off a little bit if they need to and do frozen and then transition back to fresh when they're able to. So where do you get... Where do you find fresh stuff? Like, where do you go? Not like, do you do a store? Do you go to markets?
We do farmers markets. When we were in Columbia, we did a CSA, so community supported agriculture, and that's where you buy at the beginning of the season, at the beginning of the growing season, you buy a share of the crops for the year. We haven't found a farm since we've moved. We just moved like within the past 9 months, and we haven't really got like settled in, and I haven't had a time to really kind of go and meet the farmers myself, find out who I like and what I like. So that's an option, and they're great because, I mean, you can often meet the CSA farmers at a farmer's market, and it's a great way to get to know them and they get to know you, and you can really have a relationship with where your food's coming from. We're, and I'm sure it's the same for you up in New York, but we have a lot of pick-your-own farms in Maryland.
I like that.
Yeah. So my son actually went on a field trip with my son's class back in May. We went picking strawberries. And then as a family, we go picking apples once a year. We pick peaches, blueberries, broccoli, and tomatoes at various farms. And if you have the space growing a garden, either in your backyard or if you live in an apartment building, you can still get maybe some boxes to have a little tiny garden as well. So that's great because then you're literally just going to your backyard, you're picking it, you have control over the soil and what gets sprayed on it and all that other stuff.
My niece and nephew planted cherry tomatoes and absolutely loved it. They had they planted a little garden on the side of their house and grew them, I think, last year. I don't know if they're doing it again this year. But they had a blast. Those are all great tips for getting kids engaged. I think with anything, if you want people to buy into it, you've got to get them engaged, including kids with their food. So like you said, bringing them shopping and letting them pick what type of apple they want and putting them in bags, putting them in their baskets or your basket if they don't have their own. helping them with food prep, even rinsing stuff, getting things out of the fridge. If they're old enough and responsible, well, mature enough rather, that they could do some cutting up of veggies with the sharp knife, like you said. Because, yeah, I think people, I know for a long time I thought that if the knife is sharp, you're more likely to cut yourself, but it's not the case. It's the opposite. If you're struggling with the knife to cut something, that's when people really get injured. So, making sure you sharpen
up the knife.
Yeah. So, and I always tell people also, if you're going to start really cooking, then get a good knife set. Like, you don't have to get a lot of knives. You can go to TJ Maxx or even Home Goods, and they sell knives that are pretty, or a store like that, Marshall's even, that are pretty affordable. And just get a, even if you just get a couple of good knives and keep them sharp so that you can cook and not struggle and not cut yourself.
Absolutely.
And I love that you're saying, it's not like you're telling your kids to pick whatever veggie they want. You're giving them like two or three options, and then they pick out of those for dinner or lunch or a snack. So taking them shopping, letting them pick within your options. And I love the idea of taking them out to pick strawberries or apples at the orchard and getting out into nature to go actually pick food and maybe plant something. I remember, I grew up in New York City, so we had concrete everywhere. But I remember I was so excited when our teachers gave us grass seed and let us grow like a styrofoam cup, which was not the most environmentally friendly thing. But back then, it was not really, no one paid attention to that really that much then.
Exactly.
But we had those cups, and they give us some soil, and we plant grass seed. I was always fascinated to see grass grow. So even, you know, if you're not going to grow veggies and you're in the city, even just letting your kids do that, just so they start to get like used to things growing and seeing it happen. And I wanted to share, I don't know if you know about this website, but I found this website a long time ago, and I recommend this to people to check out. It's called localharvest.org, localharvest.org. Uh-huh. And it lets you search, you put in where you are, and it lets you search farm CSAs, farmers markets, different events. And I just put in where I am, and it came up with 41 listings. So
It
has all, and it, yeah, and then you could also switch it from all to CSA. So I'm going to search for CSAs near me. Okay, that was kind of crazy. It showed 6,450. I think it showed all of them in the United States. There we go. So let me do CSA near where I am. Okay, so I have nine. There's nine that
That's
showed
awesome.
Up. Yeah, so, and I've used it in different areas as I've moved. So localharvest.org, people could check it out. I don't know the organization, but every time I go on there, they have great information. And it tells you where the farmers markets are or where CSAs are, farms. In addition to produce, it also lets you know where you can actually buy meat if you're a meat eater. You could buy poultry, beef, and a lot of times it's organic. And honestly, I have been hearing more and more that a lot of times it's as affordable, if not a little cheaper than stores, farmers selling it directly. And I love fresh local eggs. That's another thing I'm doing more now, fresh local eggs. So, or want to do more of, rather. I'm not doing it yet, but that's on my radar to do immediately.
That's awesome, yeah.
So getting families more involved in the process. So what do you, how do you manage with your kids? What do you recommend to parents about school lunches? If kids are getting lunch at school, do you have any tips for parents to try to help them get their kids eat a little healthier while they're at school? Or is that one of those things that they can't do much about? And should they just focus on everything but their lunch? Like, what do you think about the whole school lunch thing? I mean, some schools have good options. Other schools don't have that good option.
Yeah, it's tough to say because school districts across the country do appear to be very different. And, I mean, there's some districts in different states that have actually like a salad bar and stuff. And so it's kind of hard to say, but I would say that my school, some school districts try what most people's school districts are. And so the food, I mean, you're not going to have really good quality food because it's a lot of frozen stuff. But at his school, they have a protein. They offer a fruit and a vegetable and I think a grain. and they give them like maybe two or three. We didn't really buy like lunch a lot last year, mm-hmm. to keep it at once or twice, but I think they give them like two or three options to kind of choose from. And the beginning of every month, we get the menu ahead of time. So if you have the menu ahead of time, that could be a great conversation to have with the kids. Say, oh, look, today the option would be X, Y, and Z. What do you think would be a good choice? And then kind of let them give their thoughts. And if you agree, like, praise them. If you're like, oh, well, do you, and you can, if it's something like maybe you would pick something different, just say, oh, well, what do you think about this instead? And just try to talk to them about the different foods and, you know, and like, learn to be relaxed. Like, yeah, if they want to have the school pizza lunch, like, you know, once a week or once a month, like, kind of go at it. And then, like, just if the days you are making their lunch, if they kind of do want the freedom of buying lunch, then I would just say, when you do make their lunch, make it as healthy as possible, and kind of take that approach to it.
Okay, I love that. So look at the menu with your kids and ask them what they think is a good idea and go from there and just have a conversation about it. I feel like it's helping to steer them to make better choices. Obviously, you can't control it when you're not there, but it's the ongoing conversation of, you know, being thoughtful about what they're going to eat. I think that's the other big thing is that, so I do it still, like you sometimes, that you just don't even, like you're just eating and you don't even realize you're eating. It's like, oh, I have to eat lunch, and then you eat lunch. You're not really conscious of it. So it's almost like slowing down and trying to get your kids to slow down and be more aware of what you're eating, how much, take your time more, don't rush if you cannot rush, so that you give your stomach some time to feel full so you don't overeat. So do you have any pointers for that? I mean,
pointers for getting them to slow down?
Yeah, how do you, pointers to get people and children especially to slow down while they're eating? Is that helpful?
It's helpful because having body awareness is really, really important, especially we can talk about more next month when we get into weight loss. Just having awareness of your body with, are you full? Are you satiated? Is this a food you really, you know, that you need in this moment? Because oftentimes, especially when we're distracted and we're kind of snacking, you can overeat on some of the food, and you're unable to pay attention to, like, the cues, like, oh, my stomach is starting to hurt. And also, if it's slowing down, you digest better. So chewing your food and just enjoying it, and if you slow down, you can taste it. I mean, I definitely had times where I was eating too quickly, and I was like, I don't even remember what that tasted like.
Yeah.
Turning off the TV, I think that's, like, a big one in many families, is kind of having TV on. And I think the idea sometimes is I can't get my kids to sit down, so they flip on the TV, and they'll stay focused on the TV, but then they're not learning to stay focused on their body in the moment.
It's also a really great way for connection, I think. I mean, I came from an Italian family, so we would sit around the table and talk, especially with the extended family there, and eat and talk and eat and talk. But it was it's a really great time to connect with your loved ones. So, and I totally get that a lot of times parents are eating on the fly because their kids have practice. I mean, I get it. Like, people work late hours. It's hard. So by no means do I make it sound like it's so easy, but any time that you can get the family around the dinner table, even if it's not everybody, if it's one kid because the other one's at practice or something, still meeting whenever possible to have a meal together and really slow down and connect with each other. Like, pay attention to each other when you're eating and connect and enjoy the food together. I think that's a big deal, and I feel like it's happening less and less because we're so busy. People are so busy.
It is, and you have both parents working out the home now. I think it is really important. And I actually read an article not too long ago about kind of the overall emotional health, well-being of a child who had family meal time was like better than a child who was in a home where they didn't have that kind of family time to connect. So I know at our dinner table, it's a time that everyone catches up on their day, and I mean, we give thanks before eating, and you know, just really connect with one another. And but also, if you're going to have the family meal time, don't make it a stressful time. If there's hard conversations, like Matthew had a bad day at school today, and the teacher sent a note home, save that conversation for after dinner time and kind of make it an enjoyable experience. So, you like, you know, you have very, like, healthy, fond memories of mealtimes as a child. And, you know, you want to create that for, like, you know, we should all be creating that for our own children, where they can look back on mealtime and eating time as something that brings them joy. Because otherwise, as an adult, it can lead to them having disordered eating, you know, be it eating too much or too little when they get older.
Yep. I love that. So if people thought about mealtime, especially dinner, if they're going to have a meal together, to give thanks or share gratitude for their day, I think that's awesome to start with. And like you said, saving more difficult conversations till after, like just keep it a joyous time, catching up with each other. Keep it light and connecting. I think light, keeping things light and connected are like the two keys. I love that. So you could really, I mean, parents could really create a tradition of it, like every night or however, sit down, offer gratitude for the day, catch each other up on their day, and enjoy the meal. Like, literally enjoy it instead of thinking, like, okay, it's dinner, just get the food down, we need dinner. But really enjoy it. I love that.
Yeah, so, and like I was just saying, it can be tough, like, with sports practice, and we're just getting into that phase of our life as a family. With our son, he's in school now and really starting to get the competitive fight. So, like, some things I found that help does, like, managing that time, which I feel is important because this is something I personally had struggled with for the first time this year, is maybe the nights where you do have sports practice can be a night where you're making something in a crock pot, or you're making, like, an easy salad or sandwiches that are healthy, like whole grain bread and adding some veggies into the sandwiches. And even if it involves, like, there's a couple nights where it got crazy and we just ended up packing, like, dinner to go to the field with us, and then either we just wait until my son was done practicing, we, like, pulled out a picnic blanket and ate dinner a little bit later, but kind of, like, willing to be flexible and adjust things on the fly.
Yeah. So I love that, bringing dinner to the game. I was a coach for, an athletic coach for many, like, almost 10 seasons. I remember people bringing snacks. I don't ever remember people bringing dinner, but I'd be fine with that because as an athletic coach, I was always concerned that the kids didn't have time to go home and eat dinner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they go straight from, if they're traveling, if they're older kids and they're traveling on a bus to go to a game, we leave at, 2:30-ish to get on the bus, and we go right to the school, and they play, the JV team plays, and the varsity team plays, and we get on the bus, we come back, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and there was no dinner. I mean, unless we stopped somewhere and let kids get off the bus, which, you know, we needed to a couple of times, but also parents really don't want that also happening. It's hard. So as an athletic coach and planning to return to that soon, I highly recommend that parents bring dinner to games. I mean, obviously don't interrupt the game.
Right.
But, you know, as soon as the kids can eat, that's great if they could do that. And I love that. So on nights of practices, use a crock pot for a meal. So let me ask you about sandwiches quick before we wrap up, because we've got a minute left or so, 2 minutes left. What do you recommend for sandwiches? Because, I mean, I think sandwiches are great for people to eat, but also there's a lot of really bad cold cut type stuff out there. So which ones do you like? Like, what kinds of, not necessarily brands, but not a, like brand, but how do you pick what to put in a sandwich?
So we do whole grain bread, and we use Ezekiel bread. It's sprouted whole grains and very digestive friendly. Like, there's people who have, like, mild gluten intolerances who can tolerate the Ezekiel bread. So we use Ezekiel bread, and then, you know, we'll do anything, you know, from tuna salad to chicken salads we make at home. If we use lunch meat, we do nitrate-free lunch meat. I'll use avocado instead of mayonnaise.
Oh.
So I'll just mash up avocado and use that instead of mayonnaise, or we'll do mustard. Because a lot of the mayonnaise have a lot, where you can make it at home, you can make your own spreads at home as well. And hummus is great on sandwiches. And if you want to do like a veggie sandwich, we'll do hummus. And, you know, we'll do a BLT with avocado, just like little things like that.
I love it. Yeah, I love avocado. Avocado is a big thing in my house, too. So whole grain bread, what is the name of the bread that you said? I couldn't catch that. What is it called?
Ezekiel. I believe it's I think it's E-Z-I-K-I-E-L or I-A-L.
Okay.
But it'll be in the free. It's usually refrigerated because it has live enzymes in it. So it's normally in the freezer section of the grocery store. Wegmans definitely has it.
Sometimes
it'll be right next to the gluten. Yeah, it'll be like, cause oftentimes gluten-free breads are in the freezer. So you can usually find it in that section of the freezer part of the grocery store.
Oh, that's great to know. I mean, my husband and I, when we shop for bread, we look for the grainiest stuff, like the bread that actually looks like bread, not the highly processed stuff that has no texture, but like chunks on the bread.
Oh,
the
yeah,
better,
like nuts or oats. Yeah, that's great too, like the whole grain. I would just say try to go for 3 or 4 grams of fiber, and then you got a pretty good, decent whole grain bread right there.
So whole grain bread, and you said tuna salad, chicken salad, nitrate-free lunch meats. You use avocado instead of mayo, or you can make your own dressing and using hummus and making like BLTs with avocado. Those are all great lunch or sandwiches to go. I mean, that's great. So that's really helpful because I always feel like sometimes you forget all the options. Like you don't really know what kind of options there are. So Billy, you've been fabulous as always. Super helpful. I mean, you really, I'm just going to like do a little quick summary. I've been taking notes because your stuff is always so helpful. So one, you know, kids nutrition isn't too different other than like scaling down the quantity of the food. And as a parent, don't assume your kids will dislike what you dislike. So don't limit them to what you like and dislike because their palate might actually be quite different. Don't force feed. In other words, don't put too much pressure on young kids during the introduction period either, because then it can become a battle, as a lot of parents have learned. I love the stat you shared that it can take up to 14. Oh, I hear your kiddos. Speaking of the devils, right?
Yeah.
That it can take up to 14 exposures of a food before a child will start to eat it. So that's really good to know. So parents, don't give up. Just keep exposing kids to those good foods. Be patient. Model healthy eating. I mean, you know, we all know what we should be doing, but if you really want your kids to do it, you got to do it too. And honoring kids' routines. So, you know, if you're trying to adjust their food to be better, still honor their routines. Like, when do they normally snack? And not just doing cold turkey for them, but helping to transition healthier foods in. So find a better chip that's similar in texture, but find a better quality chip maybe, and cut the serving in half and add some fruit, and then eventually add more fruit and maybe better chips. So thinking of food as good, better, best, not bad or good, but like the range of improving it. And what did I write? Have familiar foods with new foods. So slowly phasing out the old foods. We weren't a big fan of cheat days, being more in the moment. Engage kids in the grocery store, in the kitchen. Bring them to the produce section, get them familiar with that and really comfortable with produce, considering frozen if you need to get frozen fruits and veggies. You can check out localharvest.org to find a local farmer's market, CSA, farm. And if your kids for lunch, school lunches, you get the menu ahead of time, which I think most districts offer that. So look at the menu with your kids and help them plan it out. Like help them make decisions about their body awareness, chew, actually taste the food, turn the TV off, and really use
mealtime is a way to connect. We really are lacking with all this technology and all our busy schedules. We're really lacking opportunities to connect with each other. So use mealtime to connect as often as possible. And like Billy said, bring meals to your kids who are playing if you want. Also, if they can't come home and you don't have time to eat a meal together, bring the food to them. As an athletic coach, I think that's an awesome idea. I never liked that my players weren't all able to eat their meals. Some of them didn't feel well. They didn't have energy. And also, they're also expected to do schoolwork on the bus and while traveling. Nearly impossible if you are hungry. So bring the food to your kids. I think that's phenomenal. I encourage parents to do that. I would love it if parents on my teams would do that. And crock pots, sandwiches, and your sandwich tips, I'm going to repeat them again because I think they're great. So whole grain breads, tuna salad, chicken salad, nitrate-free lunch meats, avocado instead of mayo, make your own dressings, hummus, BLTs. Billy, you are a wealth of information, and I love talking to you.
It always sounds so awesome when you say it all back.
Yeah, you have great info, and it's, you know, conversation's great, and you know, when I listen to people, I pick up stuff through conversations, but sometimes I forget things because I'm into a new part of the conversation, so I like to do a summary at the end so people can really quick jot it down if they missed anything. So you're fabulous, and Billy and I, guys, if you're listening, let me pull up my screen here again. So Billy and I are going to be back on the air together on August, I'm on July. All right, let me switch to my other radio show calendar. August 19th, 1 o'clock Eastern, same deal. We'll be back on to talk about nutrition with weight loss. Really important. I think so many people, particularly women, but there's a lot of men trying to lose weight. We have really bad information. We have really, really bad information about how to lose weight with food. You know, people try so hard. And sometimes I think people don't even know what's in their food. I watched a special on TV, families trying to lose weight, and they were eating diet foods, foods that are good for them to eat if they're trying to lose. No, don't do that. So Billy's going to elaborate on that in a few weeks, and we'll help you. We'll get you on track on if you want to lose weight, the healthiest, best way for you to lose weight, for nutrition and also movement and exercise, but nutrition is so key just to keep your body working appropriately, to help your immune system work appropriately. Nutrition directly affects the gut, which is where the immune system is. Big deal. But we'll give you some pointers, particularly Billy will give some pointers in a few weeks to help you guys lose weight if that's what you're focused on. Personally, I like focusing on living a healthier lifestyle overall, but if weight loss is a thing on your radar, then tune in on the 19th of August. It's a Wednesday, and we'll give you more tips on how to do that in a good, healthy way. And it's good information for everyone, really. It's not, like, specific for weight loss, but it's how, you know, the best way to really eat, especially if you want to lose weight. All right, Billy, anything else you want to share, contact information, if people want to get in touch with you?
Sure. If you want to get in contact with me, visit me on Facebook at Billy Walton, licensed nutritionist, or by email, Billy, B-I-L-L-I-E, period, Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N, at gmail.com. Feel free to message me, Facebook, email, anything. I love talking to people, so go for it.
Yeah, excellent. And if you want to learn more about me and Catch Good Health, and the coaching I offer, it's catchgoodhealth.com. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, which I have not figured out still after 2 years. I might just fail. I don't know. Pinterest is like my arch nemesis of social media. But I'm on Facebook and Twitter all the time. So, and also the show goes to iTunes. So if you'd rather go to iTunes and pull the show, you could search Catch Good Health in iTunes and get all of my episodes. All right, Billy, it's been fun. Thank you again. I appreciate it. And thank you to your kids. They're so patient. I know Billy had her kids at home today, and they've been fantastic. Great kids. Tell them they're super, really super for letting their mom be on the call with me, sharing their mom with me today.
We're going to go have some fun. They earned themselves a fun afternoon.
Have a good time. What are you guys going to do?
We're just going to head on over to the pool and meet some friends over there.
Oh, nice. Full time. That's perfect. Great summer afternoon. All right. Well, thank you again, and thank you so much, guys, everybody who's listening to our show today, and we'll listen. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, in a few weeks.
Okay,
take care, guys.
Good.
Bye, Billy.
I can't wait.
Yes, looking forward to it. Okay, take care. Bye, Billy.
You too. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. For more information about Erica, her health education and life coaching services, or Catch Good Health, please visit catchgoodhealth.com. And don't forget, good health is contagious and you can pass it on.